And now I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. My text is taken from verse 17. My message, as announced this morning, is entitled Something Old and Something New. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast made out of us new creatures in Christ Jesus. How we do thank Thee, and how our hearts are thrilled when we hear the testimony of our young people. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us the privilege of working with them and guiding them over this treacherous path of life. Now, Father, in these moments, we pray the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and empower us and anoint us and fill us. And may Christ be so exalted and Thy word so proclaimed that we might all go out of this place rejoicing in the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I feel somewhat like the old lady felt when she got up to testify. And she said, I know I ain't what I ought to be, but praise God, I ain't what I used to be. I think that sort of tells the story. I think that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Notice again the wording, if any man. I'm glad that God has not drawn a line of exclusiveness, but that His marvelous grace has reached every member of Adam's race. If any man be in Christ, oh, I like that, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is one thing to be in the church. It is one thing to be in the denomination. It is one thing to be counted among the multiplied millions who are in the world of Christendom. But, beloved, it is something else to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God did something new when He redeemed the first soul of Adam's race. God continues to do something new every time a soul is redeemed. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know who it's going to be. But I do know, in keeping with God's word, that one day or one night, somewhere, sometime, the last member of Adam's race to be saved will honor and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again and claim unto Himself every believer, both living and dead. So it really doesn't matter whether we live or die. He's coming for us. If any man be in Christ Jesus, how do we get in, preacher? By simple childlike faith. We don't get in by the baptismal waters. We don't get in by learning the catechisms. We don't get in by joining the church. We don't get in by walking down the aisle or shaking hands with the preacher or signing a card or turning over a new leaf. We get in by faith in the finished work of our Savior upon the cross. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, said Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something old, something new. Let us see in the life of the unbeliever those things that are old, that used to be, that the believer can now look back on and say, that used to be my case. The unbeliever is dead in sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1, Paul writes, and you, that means you, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the old, dead in sin. Something new. We are now dead to sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto God. Something old, dead in sin. Something new, dead to sin. Something old, we were under God's wrath. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Something old, under the wrath of God, something new. We are saved from wrath. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul writes, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Something old, under the wrath of God. Something new, saved from the wrath of God. Something old, without God. Back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Without God, verse 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. I can think of nothing that is more tragic than to be in the world without God. That's something old. Something new. We are now near to God. Right down in the next verse, in verse 13 of Ephesians 2. But now, once in the world without Christ, without hope, and without God, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Something old in the world without God. Something new near to the heart of God through Jesus Christ. Near to God. Nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. Something new for us to be near to God. And then something old under condemnation. John 3:18. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Every man outside Christ is under condemnation. A man doesn't have to wait until he stands before God to be lost. He is lost now without Christ. Under condemnation for the believer, that's something old. Something new, free from condemnation. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And here it is, shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Something old, condemned. Something new, free from condemnation. Something old, the unbeliever, the man outside Christ, is blinded by Satan. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 we read, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that is Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Every unsaved man is blinded by Satan. That's something old. In the life of the believer, we're no longer blind. For in 2 Corinthians 3:16, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, when it," that is the heart, "shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." We are no longer blind in him. Our eyes are opened. We see him in all of his majestic glory by the eyes of faith. Something old, a child of Satan. In John 8:44, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Every unsaved man, every unsaved person has Satan as father. That's what Jesus said. "Ye are of your father, the devil." John 8:44. But saved believers, Christians, redeemed ones, born again ones, something new. What is it? We are the children of God. In John 1:11-12, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Paul writes in Romans 8, "For as many," verse 14, "as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." In his first epistle, chapter 3:1, the beloved John writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Verse 2 says, "Now are we the sons of God." That's something new. It hasn't always been that way. Unsaved, a child of Satan. Saved, a child of God. Unsaved, unbeliever, something old for the believer, eternally lost. In John 3:36, "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Something new, eternally saved. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Isn't that wonderful? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Something old, certain of hell. In Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the unsaved, the unregenerate, the unbelieving, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Something old, eternally lost, certain of hell. Something new, certain of heaven. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Reserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. I'm just as bound for heaven tonight as anything that's ever happened in this world. I'm just as sure for heaven. I'm just as certain for heaven. And you're just as certain for heaven as anything in the world is certain. Just as sure as 2 + 2 = 4. You and I in the Lord Jesus Christ are certain for heaven. Something old, the unbeliever, is awaiting judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. For the believer, waiting glory. Paul writes over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The unsaved man is awaiting judgment. That's old for us as believers. The saved man is awaiting glory. Something old, something new. The unbeliever is solemnly warned. Listen to what John writes in the Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The believer doesn't have that to worry about, but the unbeliever, the unsaved man, is solemnly warned that if his name is not written down in the book of life, eternal death, eternal destruction, eternal fire is awaiting him. Something new for the believer. The believer is gloriously assured. Listen to what Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The only thing we're waiting for to inherit that glorious, wonderful and happy and blissful place is for Jesus to come. Oh Lord Jesus, how long do we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I'm glad that we have the glorious and blessed assurance that one day we're going to move out of this old place with all of its heartaches, with all of its trials, with all of its difficulties, with all of its burdens, with all of its disappointments. We are moving out. If you're saved, your ticket's already punched. Your bags are already packed. And seems I can almost hear the whistle. The old gospel heaven-bound train is about to pull out. I'm gloriously assured that one day I'm going to heaven. I wouldn't trade it for 10 million worlds like this. My name is written there on that page, bright and fair. My name is written there. Well, let's stand for our prayer. Our Father tonight, if there be those who have not that assurance, if there be those who have not that peace, that satisfaction, that joy, that unshakable faith We pray that they might come and in these moments yield everything to Christ. Dear God, if there are those who need to come and unite with the fellowship of this church, may they come. Whatever the needs are for salvation, for dedication, for church membership, for whatever they might find in their own hearts that they need, may men and women and families and people and young people and even the children take notice and step out of those old things into something new. In Jesus' name we pray.